Thank you, guys. Lovely to be with you this morning. I'm normally in the Maidenhead congregation, but it's great to be here. Just that you know who I am, I'm Elaine, and I've been part of River for about 16 years. And married to the lovely Chris, and have two sons, David and Matthew. So you might know Dave, he's on the main leadership team of River, and Matt's very often part of the worship teams. So that's who we are, and it's just lovely to be with you this morning. I wanted to have a really creative meeting this morning. I've learned on a journey through part of being in the big year last year about how I do have creative bits to me. For most of my life, they have been quite buried. But God has been speaking to me about being creative, and he's put that within us, hasn't he, to be creative. So I am so grateful to Aileen for pulling these guys together and for their willingness to serve and express their worship this morning through their art and through their painting. So thank you, guys. Really appreciate it. Thanks to Miriam, because her and I have worked together on the communion tables, and she's been a great support to me. And it's just lovely for us to combine our gifts. And when I was praying this morning, I said, Lord, I really want to just see a real explosion of the prophetic, and as well as the artistic, and dance and worship, and it's all coming together. And I saw the flags at the back when I walked in, and then to see Annette just expressing her heart to Father was just truly amazing and really awesome in my head, because I'm not an elegant dancer, and just to see somebody abandoned in their worship is just lovely. So thank you, guys, for being willing to step up and release, and for the words that have come, because I think Father has already begun to speak to us. The talk I want to share with you this morning, and it is just really thoughts, it's not a preach, it's not particularly a sermon, but came out of my big year experience last year. We were asked to do a project on the Old Testament, the book of Judges, and we were to find Jesus in that. Now, over the last few years, I have seen Kristen Forster unpack the scriptures in a way that's been just amazing, and I've seen that there are layers and themes that run through the Bible. And I was given a Bible when I was 7. I remember my first Bible was given to me by my nan. And it was a beautiful old King James, small, leather-bound, zipped-up version that had little thumb things for all the books in the Bible, you know what I mean, to help you find your way around. And that placed in my heart, it sowed a seed of a love for the Word of God. And over the last year, during the big year, it's just been enriched. And so when we're given this project, I thought, oh, the Bible, here we go again. It's just great. It's been something close to my heart. And so I thought, okay, how do I find Jesus? How do I find these layers that are in Scripture that transcend from, go from Genesis to Revelation? We can see, you know, you hear sermons, don't you, where you see after the fall in Genesis, God speaking to Eve and saying, you know, all right, you've sinned, you've messed up, but actually out of your seed, I am going to send a redeemer. And we see Jesus coming through all the familiar passages, like Isaiah, when he's prophesied about dying and the virgin birth and all that sort of thing, into the Gospels, and then reigning in Revelation in the new heavens and the new earth. So you see the layers coming through. And so I thought, well, okay, how are these layers going to unfold for me in the book of Judges? And I started to read, and I said, Holy Spirit, I can't do this without you. Will you show me? And he stopped me reading at chapter 9, and I'll leave you to read that for yourselves. But I found what I think is the first parable in the Bible. Jesus told parables, and as soon as I saw it, I thought, oh, yes, okay, maybe there's a bit of something here. And I said, Holy Spirit, show me. And the parable is about the trees. The parable is a story, and it has a meaning. And this parable was about trees. And the trees were asking, who's going to reign over us? Who's going to be chief tree? And so they approached four different trees. They approached an olive tree, a fig tree, a vine, and a bramble, and said to each of them, will you come and reign over us? Will you come and be Lord over us? And each of the trees responds to the question. And as I thought about those four trees, I thought, I've seen those somewhere before. And the Holy Spirit reminded me that each of the trees you can find in Genesis, but each of the trees features in the last week of Jesus' life. And so I began to think, all right, how can I unwrap this? How can I find Jesus in the New Testament and the Old? What is it saying to me? How can I span the years? How can I bridge the gap? And so years ago, I don't know if you know Pete and Helen Davis, they lead the Marlow congregation. Helen gave me a tool years ago about Bible study, about looking back into the Hebrew of words in the scriptures to find out the meanings. And so I began to do a bit of a study using the Hebrew language for each of these trees and picked out some of the words that were in the text in that passage in Judges. And so what I've done is I just want to open those out and relate them to the New Testament. They're all there on the tables. So there's four stations that you will see for each of the trees. And the words are there. And what I want to do is just talk about them. You can watch the artists as they paint and as they bring that revelation. And then when we finish, we're going to take communion. And I want to ask you to just be listening to the Holy Spirit to see which tree, which area he wants you to find him in this morning. You may find him at the vine. You may find him at the fig tree. You may find him at the olive tree. You may find him at the bramble, at the cross, at the crown of thorns. So be open to where the Holy Spirit wants to lead you this morning as I just share these few thoughts very briefly. And while we're taking communion, Kerry and Mick are going to come back and we're going to just worship. We're going to take time in the throne room. Elizabeth was praying about the throne room this morning, and that's where we want to just finish this morning, around the throne, around Jesus. The whole thing is about him. And there are scriptures, there are words there on each of the tables for you to take back to your seats and to just ponder and allow him to speak in. So the olive tree was the first tree to be approached, and the trees came to the olive tree and said, "Will you do it?" And he says, "Shall I leave my fatness with which God and man are honored?" So I started looking at the olive, the fatness and honoring, and to see what they would bring out. The olive oil talks about illuminating oil. It talks about prominent brightness. Who is the bright morning star? Who illuminates our way? Who lights up our path? You know, you might be coming this morning and there may be questions in your heart about direction. Where do I go? How do I find truth? How do I find direction? The illuminating presence of Jesus is there in the olive. I looked back a little bit further and thought, where do we see the olive coming through? And in Exodus 28, we read that God instructs Moses to use olive oil to anoint the priest, to sanctify them and set them apart for ministry in the tabernacle. And I thought, yeah, the priesthood, they were anointed. Jesus is our high priest, isn't he? He is there seated at the right hand of the Father for us. And the oil was anointing to set them apart from ministry. And sometimes you might feel that you're entering a new phase of ministry. I certainly am. I've just joined the Maidenhead leadership team and it feels a bit of a scary process. But it's good to know that there is an anointing there for ministry. And it may feel that you're just not feeling secure. Maybe the artists are doing things for the first time this morning. It's a new area of ministry. And it's good to just come and maybe get prayed for about the ministry that you're entering or the ministry that you're in that you're feeling dry in. The oil is there. I saw in the fatness bit, talks about abundance. Shall I leave my fatness with which God and man? The olive is very rich, isn't it? But it also talks in the Hebrew about the fatty ashes of sacrifice. In the New Testament, the olives reminded me of Gethsemane. After the Last Supper, Jesus went down through the Kidron Valley and up the other side to the Mount of Olives. And he walked among the olive groves and the olive trees. And there he just got on the ground before his Father. And he paid the price, didn't he? The honoured bit in the scriptures there talk about it being heavy, burdensome, to be made weighty. Jesus sweat drops of blood in the Garden of Gethsemane amongst the olive groves because of what was about to face him. He knows what it's like to face those difficult situations. It's a picture of the cost of kingship. But you know, Jesus has been raised to the right hand of the Father, hasn't he? It's just amazing that he is there. In James, we read that we call the elders, don't we, of the church to pray, to anoint for healing. And it may be that you're needing some healing this morning. The oil is there for healing. The oil is there for anointing. Mark 6, Jesus sends the disciples out with these words, and they cast out many demons and anointed with oil for healing many who were sick and healed them. You're pushing through for this as a congregation. We're pushing through as a church for this. So if you need healing this morning, then it may be that the oil is for you. The oil for illumination, for direction. Remembering that it's costly, discipleship and kingship. Healing and gladness. That was the olive tree. The fig tree came next. The figs are over there. The fig tree says in response to the question, shall I leave my sweetness and my good fruit? So I looked up sweetness and I looked up fruit and I looked up the dictionary definition because it was already really quite obvious. Sweetness was to suck, by implication, to relish, to be sweet. And I was reminded of the scriptures that David wrote about the word of God being sweeter than honey and Jesus being sweet to the taste. It's all about him, isn't it? It's just incredible to relish Jesus, to actually sort of enjoy him and just have that abandonment towards him. It is just amazing. The fruit bit of it, shall I leave my sweetness and my good fruit, the fig tree? It talked about being a sense of strength, like an umbilical cord that is right at the center of people's being, a string. And I looked at it and I thought, yeah, Jesus is our strength. He is our center. There's a song, isn't there, about be the center of who I am and what I do and everything about me. So it might be that you just need to think about Jesus being the center of who you are and where you're at and what you're doing. But the most exciting actually came out of the Oxford Dictionary. It talked about a fig tree is a tree having sweet flesh and containing numerous seed-like fruits. And I thought, wow. We see the seed, don't we, in Genesis? The seed that was promised to Eve. When the enemy heard those words, he started to look for that seed to try and destroy it, to try and thwart the plans that God had to redeem mankind. But Jesus came, and Jesus lived. And the seed went into the ground and died, was buried, but he did that so that it could bring forth fruit, much fruit, and we are that fruit. We are Jesus' seed. The seed has borne fruit, and I was just blown away by that revelation of that we are the seed. It was just incredible. The fig tree was a very common plant in Israel, in Palestine, in the days of the Old Testament. It was a staple part of nutrition. It was economically what they used for trade. It was very ordinary. And, you know, in Isaiah, it talks about Jesus being very ordinary and nothing that would have any comeliness that would draw people to him in his physical being. But nobody could resist him, could they? Jesus left his glory, the splendor, the amazing glory of heaven, and came down to be ordinary so that he could relate to us. It's just tremendous to see that. But I thought about the seeds and I thought, you know, for us, we have seeds. We need to be seeds. We need to sow. And there may be things in your life over the years that you have sown into, people you've prayed for, situations that you've longed for, prophecies that have been spoken over you, that maybe you just need to get alongside and over by the fruit tree, the fig tree this morning, and pray again over those seeds. Kerry was obviously bearing her seed, and that prophetic, well, I thought it was really good, that prophetic thing you shared this morning, that picture of what happened a year ago. And you know, that fruitfulness will come, those seeds that maybe our hearts have grown weary, praying stuff through, praying for people, situations, and there may be frustration and disillusionment, but the seed is there, and the seed was promised, the seed has come in Jesus, and we have that example to grasp hold of and to walk into as we spend some time around his presence this morning. So we need to relish the presence. But in the last week of Jesus' life, we saw him coming and cursing the fig tree. And he cursed it because there was no fruit on it. And he was hungry. And it reminded me of seasons, and that it's important in our Christian life to know what season we're in and to rest in that season. There are times where things are dormant, when things go quiet and underground, because the Lord is doing a deep work in us in the winter time. In the spring, it's time for fertilizer and for tilling the ground and turning it over. And there's times when the Lord begins to disturb, when the Lord begins to interrupt us because he's got new things planned. There's times for the heart, for the fruit and the flowers and the glory of the colour of summer, and to enjoy that. And then there's times for harvest. And it's important that you know in your Christian life which season you are in, and to be content in that season and allow the Lord to do the work that he wants to do. So it might be that you need to stand at the fig table this morning and think about the season, to think about the fruit and the seed that you've sown, or to relish in the presence of Jesus, to suck and taste and see that he is good. To allow him to be the centre of your strength in those difficult times. Then we come to the vine. The vine tree. The vine says to the trees in the parable, "Shall I leave my new wine which cheers both God and man?" As you'd expect, the vine is exactly what it is. It's the grape juice. But when I looked at the word wine in the Hebrew, it has a sense of expulsion. Fresh grape juice, freshly squeezed, just squeezed out. It's not fermented, rarely fermented wine. And it cheers, it brightens up. Well, wine does do that, doesn't it? Fermented sauce, anyway. And I thought, yes, Lord, we see you on what we call Maundy Thursday, on the night of the Passover, coming and taking the wine, doesn't he? And he gives them a new covenant, a new glass. And he says, here's another glass of wine. They've gone through the Passover, and here's another glass of wine. What is it? It's the new thing I'm bringing in. It's the new covenant. It's the new way. It's the new teaching. There's nothing old or stale here. This is new, and there isn't anything old or stale about Jesus. Sometimes we feel stale. We feel removed from him. But it was really good that lady brought about being grafted into the vine this morning. The vine is there, and Jesus talks in John about being grafted into him, about coming in and being part of him. So if you're feeling stale this morning, it's not Jesus. But he is there, and there is life in the vine. He is living. He is throbbing with life and sap to graft you in. And as you're grafted in, as you connect with him this morning, because he's here, he's promised to be here, then that life can begin to flow through. Drink of the new wine. Take that glass of the covenant. There are glasses on all the tables. Take, drink, be refreshed at that table. And finally, the bramble. The bramble came in Genesis, didn't it, as part of the curse. They sinned, and God came and said to Adam, the ground is going to yield thistles and brambles, and you're going to have to toil hard. In the story, the bramble is the tree who takes up the challenge. He says, yeah, okay, I'll do it. And yet the bramble in Bible times was insidious. It crept along the ground, low. It wasn't even useful for firewood. They couldn't use it. It was a constant threat to them. It was a nuisance. And you know, as I thought about that, and as I looked at pictures of what it looked like, I was reminded, who do we see in Genesis crawling along? The enemy was sent to crawl on his belly, wasn't he, after he deceived Eve? And we see this bramble saying, yeah, I'll do it. The enemy coming in. Yeah, I'll do it. I'll usurp. I'll take over. And he was the least likely that could do it. He didn't have big spreading branches that could cover and bring the protection that they were asking for. And I thought, the enemy is coming again. Where do we see the bramble in the last week of Jesus' life? We see it as the crown of thorns. Center stage. And you know, as I thought of the enemy and what he's represented as the bramble in this picture, in this parable from Genesis, we see it coming through. I thought it must have been him standing back and clapping and laughing and mocking and saying, yeah, I've got you. Everything's worked according to plan. You're going to be crucified. You're going to die. And that's going to be the end of it. And I've won. And what's more, I'm going to put a crown of thorns on you. I'm going to pick this thing up that's crept around the ground. And I'm going to shove it on your head. And it's just such a mockery. But it was Jesus' greatest victory. Because he was the rightful king. He is the rightful king. I was reminded of a story. I love the Chronicles of Narnia and The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe. And when Aslan goes and lies on the stone table for Edmund, and Lucy and Susan watch him killed. I was watching it with Matthew a few weeks ago, weren't we? We just love it. And next day they fall asleep, and next day he's gone and the stone table is cracked, and he comes and he shakes himself and he says, give me some space, and he roars with this big roar, and Lucy and Susan are going like this, and they say, but you were dead, we saw what you did, we saw what they did, and it was horrible, and he said, she didn't know the deeper magic. And you know, the enemy didn't know the deeper things of the Father's heart, that Jesus was coming to redeem the world, and it was God's plan. And that out of that would come salvation. And I just thought that was just amazing. That Jesus is our hiding place. He is our strong tower. He is our salvation. And if you don't know Jesus today, or you're wondering whether he really is Lord of your life, come and bow before him and see the price that he paid. Come again and find the amazing grace that took him to the cross when there was no sin in his life, when he was the perfect sacrifice. And so there we go, guys. The four tables, the four pictures of Jesus lifted from the Old Testament is how I see them. And is it the olive tree for you, the illuminating oil, the oil of healing, the oil of gladness, the oil for anointing, for ministry? Is it the fig tree, thinking about seasons, fruitfulness, or just relishing the presence of Jesus, allowing him to be the center of your strength? Or is it the vine coming afresh, where there is no staleness, there is no distance between you and God? Get grafted in again, drink the new wine and be refreshed if you're weary. Or is it looking again into the face of Jesus and seeing the cross, seeing he is our hiding place, our strong tower, our redemption, our saviour, our amazing prophet, priest and king? Father's table is abundant. The table he presents before us is a feast, and it's in the presence of our enemies. What is on the tables are for you to eat and to enjoy and to take. Over the next 20 minutes, Kerry's going to lead in worship. And if the artists give you guys, you prophetic painters, you're more than artists, you are prophetic painters. If you guys just want to come up, if you feel that you can do or you would like to, and just share about your paintings and what you feel that the Lord has shown you through them, then just come and take the mic when you're ready. Come and take the communion. Come and get prayed for. Come and pick a piece of paper up and bring it back to your seat and just meditate on what the Lord's spoken to you about this morning, because I believe he has spoken. He has been speaking since before we came this morning. And let's enjoy his presence.
Please get up and walk around, have a look at the paintings. Because some paintings, they look good from far, and some paintings you've got a view from near. My painting, you've got a view from near, so when you're far away, you miss some of the things that are there. Well, how I got to do this painting was I had a look at the vine. And actually what came to me was the menorah. And I'm really quite amazed that Wisdom has just painted a menorah. Because when I see the vine, I see the menorah. But I didn't actually paint. I see the menorah as gold too, which is what Wisdom painted. Oh, that's pretty amazing. But the vine here, if you look at it, there is no main trunk. Vine is something that comes out of the ground and it entwines. So it entwines with you. And we are entwined with the Lord. And where the grapes are, it becomes the wine. And the wine becomes the blood. And from the blood, we are transformed. And we grow into the righteousness of Christ. And out of that righteousness, our heart sings. So this is my picture.
I think there's a little bit of a theme running through this morning. And I'm having to look at this because I wrote it down to remind me. I think Kerry said at the beginning something about hearts returning. And she talked about a door being opened, very slightly opened. And then this lady said in her reading from Matthew about you can't do anything if you're separate from the vine. So for me, there's a little theme of hearts returning to God. To do that, you need to open the door and you need to be part of the vine. And I hope Kerry and Mick are going to play Amazing Grace, Hallelujah, Grace Like Rain, only because it's my favourite song. They did sing it a little bit before. And it's very poignant to me because most of you don't know me. I became a Christian when I was 21, and I totally and utterly fell out with anything to do with God and Christianity when I was in my early 40s. And for 4 or 5 years, I hated everything to do with Christianity with a passion. And I had to come back to God, obviously, at some point. And the only way you do that, the only way your heart returns, the only way the door is opened, the only way you get grafted back into the vine is you have to make a choice. It's a really, really simple thing to say. And it's a really, really simple thing to do. And yet, it's difficult if you're in that, you know, in the place before you do it. When you were talking about Holy Spirit being the celestial interferer, you know, you're just going along and you get that uncomfortable feeling. And that's only in the case of going back to help somebody. But you do, you go through this thing, don't you? Should I? It's even more of that uncomfortable feeling when you need to get back to God or you need to forgive somebody or you just damn well know that you should be doing something and you're not doing it. You just know. So all this is really is an encouragement, really, to say, just make the choice. Just do it. If you need to do something, just do it. And do it today, because Monday will be a lot better. It will be. It'll just be a lot better.
Can I just say a little bit about my painting? I was asked to paint about the fig tree. And so I looked up on the internet what the fig leaves look like. That's from there. But reading in the Bible, there's a lot of times in the Old Testament when the Israelites describe themselves as sitting underneath the fig tree. Can you see there's a person sitting underneath the fig tree there? I'll let Kerry see that as well. Sitting underneath the fig tree. And that phrase throughout the Old Testament signifies security, prosperity, safety. When Solomon was the king, it says in the Bible, every person sat underneath their own fig tree. They were safe with Solomon as the king. And the change here is from the cross, that we are sitting underneath the shadow of the cross. Jesus cursed the fig tree because the Pharisees were changing it. They wasn't pure like it symbolism was in the Old Testament. But he replaced it with his tree, which is the cross, just the sort of the security, the prosperity, the safety of being underneath Jesus' tree, underneath the cross.
This painting is about you. It's about you. At the centre of it is the olive tree, which is Jesus, as you said. And this is kind of just a little picture that Jesus has showed me from Zechariah as well, which completely is in sync with what you were talking about from Judges. So Jesus is the olive tree. And in Zechariah, it talks about the olive tree and the olive, the oil, coming out from the olive tree continually to feed a lamp. This is, I don't know much about this lamp except that it does represent you. It does also represent the churches, the sevenfold spirit in the churches. But the key that I think Jesus was pointing out for me was he's expressing himself. Stuff is coming out from inside of him. He's giving himself, his life, his blood, his body, his being. It's costing him to give to you. But he does that willingly. It's costing him to share his love, his spirit with you. It's costing him, but he does it willingly. And you, empowered by the Spirit, by the oil of gladness, by the oil of joy, by the blood, spiritual blood that flows from Jesus directly to you, are empowered to do the things that you need to do here on earth. And he said, greater things than I will you do because I go to the Father. And he meant it. He completely meant it. Because he's giving of himself to you as you stand before him here on earth.